accords with godliness, he is proud. I want to stop right there. Not what I'm preaching on, but when you take the stance, well, I know the Bible says, but you're not arguing with God, you're stepping into pride. If you know your Bible, pride ain't a real good place to be. You might find God on the other team. Just thought I'd throw that out there. That was free. Knowing nothing, but is obsessed and with disputes, arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and snares, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men. Listen to the wording, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let's pray. Lord, I am asking you for your Spirit to be here, Lord. I am asking you to touch and move. God, I pray that you will reveal to us. And Father, I just pray for our president. I pray for Congress. I pray that peace and godly wisdom will rule the day. I pray that every one of them will have an encounter with the risen Lord, that your Spirit will move up and down those halls. Lord, I pray for this, for our city council and our governor and our state legislature, that they will hear your voice clearly, Lord. And God, I pray this morning that you will break spirit off this, the evil spirits off of us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. This is number 5 in a series of the days of our lives. And if you hadn't been here, where you been, you pagan? Well, you know, I'm just kidding. If the Lord told me to start sharing and preaching on the things that we are dealing with today, the major problems of today. And so we started 4 or 5 Sundays ago. This is the 5th Sunday. We started on evolution and your fixed point of reference. We started and just talked about how a fixed point of reference has got to be bigger than you and doesn't move. And that God and His Word must be our fixed point of reference. Now in the world today, people are their own fixed point of reference. Well, that's your truth, brother. That ain't my truth. So what are they saying? I'm my own fixed point of reference. My opinion counts. Okay? We had scientific proof that evolution is not true. I'm going to say it 1,000 times. Evolution is not true. They teach it like it is, but it ain't. We had the scientist, you can go online and look, the scientist and his scientific world have proven that evolution is not true, but they can't say it because they'll get fired. Science every day is proving that evolution is not true. Macroevolution. Now, microevolution is true because God made us to adapt. It should be called adaptation, not evolution. And it is the plan of Satan. Evolution is the plan of Satan. It has to be, because if evolution is true, then there are no boundaries. And God's boundaries are for our good. God's boundaries. We talked about human sexuality, that God made male and female. It doesn't matter what you believe or what I believe or what I think or what the culture says. You've got to understand that God set boundaries. It's male and female. Sex was to be inside of marriage. And once you step outside of that boundary, well, who gets to decide what's what? When there are no boundaries, then it's chaos. It ain't just about homosexuality and all. I mean, I showed you clearly. I don't want to beat you over the head with the Bible. He says it's sin, it's wrong, okay? There is no argument about that. But if you step outside the boundaries, where does it end? I mean, right now, there are a group of people raising money to make a law in California to make it your animals non-binary, a law. You can't say good boy to your dog anymore, good girl. That's offensive to animals. Well, I mean, you're laughing, but right here in this room, there are some of you that don't think anything's wrong with homosexuality. It's their choice. Well, you're laughing at that, but if there's no boundaries, why not? There are people right now, they're suing to bury their animals. Why not? If there's no boundaries, who's to say what's right or wrong? You got to have boundaries that are bigger than us, right? And that's why God gave them, because with no boundaries, they're chaos. Evolution, we talked last week about abortion and racism. Evolution devalues humans. It devalues human beings. Abortion and racism, the murder rate skyrocketed the moment Roe v. Wade was put into practice. Because you devalue humans, well now, racism is out of that same spirit. I devalue you based on you something you have no choice about. Does that make sense? You see how it works. And so, and we proved, I mean, Jane Roe, the grace of God. Look, God can reach anybody. Jane Roe became a Christian. Her name was, what's her name, Todd? Where is he at? Norma McCorvey or something. She became a Christian, and she told the truth and said on Ted Koppel, and see, you don't hear this. Her three feminist lawyers told her to lie at her trial to sue for an abortion and tell everybody she was raped. She said that on Ted Koppel, you know, years ago, back in the 80s. And so 50 million babies have been aborted built on a lie. She wasn't raped. It was just she wanted, which brings me to what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about something that's even reaching into the core of the church. I'm going to talk about greed and ethics. And I'm going to show you how they're tied together. We're going to look at the word. We just read about the word, about greed. Now, let me define some things so that you understand. First of all, greed is eagerly grasping, wanting something with great compassion, with great passion. Greed is not just about money. There are people greedy for power. There are people greedy for possessions, for place. Greed is when you eagerly grasping. I'm grasping, wanting something with great passion. Now, the biblical word for greedy is covetousness. Covetousness, so that when you see it in that list, you'll know what he's talking about. Covetousness is a strong desire after that's supposed to be possessions. I apologize. Of this world. The possessions of this world. What the world possesses. I want it. I got a strong desire. I want money. I want stuff. I want power. I want this. Okay? That's covetousness, which is bad, you know, made the top 10. Do not covet another man's wife and all that stuff. And so this spirit is pervading through our culture right now. This thing that we are, even in this room, it is prevalent and just so sneaky. It goes in, and when you begin to do that, you open up a Pandora's box of all kinds of sin and problems. The word, well, I'm going to show you in the Word where it says foolishness. Now, greed is birthed out of two things. Greed and covetousness is birthed out of two things. Number one, fear. Fear, I ain't going to get none. Fear, I'm going to miss out. See, that happens in my, it used to happen in my house a lot. When we put down a big plate of fried chicken and all the boys, I had seven teenagers in the house at one time. 54 pieces of chicken didn't last long. I mean, in the prayer time, I could feel the greed rising. Lord bless this food. You could feel them start getting nervous. I want that chicken leg. Nobody wanted the wing. Me and Amy ate the wings. Now, that's a silly example, but that's the truth. When we look around and see, I wonder how many people are in debt because they saw their friend got a car and they wanted one. Don't shout me down now. That's how it works. It traps you. I'm missing out. I won't get it unless I take it. This won't be enough. This isn't good enough. Someone else has power. I want it. Somebody else is this. Someone else has this over me. It is a fear that I am being withheld from. Is this not the same lie that Satan did with Eve? Hey, you're missing out. God knows. God knows. He's holding out on you. When you eat that, you'll... Right? It's the same thing. This fear of missing out. This fear that steals your contentment. I'm going to show you this in just a second. It also is built on selfishness. Greed is built on fear and selfishness. I must take care of myself. I want what I want, and I want it now. The theme of credit card business. Got quiet, did it? Cold chill moved over the crowd. I want what I want. I can't trust anyone. I've got to get it. I want it. I need it. I am driven. I am going to get those things. See, evolution supports this. You go, what? Wait a minute. Evolution supports this because if evolution is true, then this is all you get. Right? I mean, this is your 80 years. Go for it. The best you got. Right? And when you understand that Satan is trying to drive you, it's kind of like chasing a dog. You know, a dog chasing his tail. What you going to do when you catch it? That's when foolishness happens. When I'm driven by greed and I'm driven by selfishness, that I want the American dream. Well, what exactly is that? Do you know that the American dream says the pursuit of happiness. Money cannot buy happiness. Your house, this, it's not going to buy you peace and joy. My boy, every time I say that to my boys, they say, yeah, but Daddy, it sure can buy you a lot of fun. And he sure can buy that new four-wheeler I want. I said, yeah, but it won't last. It never lasts. Me and my sister and my brother, my dad had two jobs. We're going to talk about this in just a second. Two jobs that are doomed to poverty. Not poverty, but doomed that you're not going to be wealthy. Okay? He was a football coach and a teacher, which, you know, it's a calling. If you know, you're not going to make a lot of money. Amen? Coach, can I get a witness? Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Cruz, you know. Well, then he became a preacher. First church he had, we grew up, he was, we were poor. Lived in a pastorum, you know, we didn't even own the house. Couldn't do any repairs unless, but you know what? We were talking about that. I mean, we always drove. We never had a new car. I remember Jamie's first car driving us to school, and me and Andrew, now, it was mostly Andrew, he picked on her a lot. He would pick on her a lot, and she would get mad. Well, the little thing that we had, it was a Rambler, a blue Rambler. Well, it had a big hole in the back seat floor. So when she got mad at us, she would run through water. I mean, it was so funny. Me and Andrew would be crawling. Ah! But, yeah, we'd get her back, though, you know. She didn't want nothing to do with us until we got bigger, you know. But here's the thing. I mean, we were poor, but we didn't know it. Because we were happy. We had joy. See, when you pursue the American dream, it's kind of like stepping out about, well, how much is enough? See, you never get enough. You never, there's always more. I mean, people are standing in line around the corner for a mile to get the new iPhone. And see, they feed, corporations feed into this greed and stuff. You got to have the latest and greatest. I mean, they don't even service the iPhone 6 no more, which I got. The lady looked at it and said, you have never done an update in the history of this phone. I said, I don't need no update. She said, well, you got to do this app and that app. And I said, lady, I ain't never downloaded an app in my life. I said, does it call and text? Yes. I said, that's all I want it to do. But see, when we're driven, and I'm going to get a little more personal here in a minute. When we're driven and we have a goal and an end that is not godly, see, listen to me now, look at me. God's goal is not to make you rich. Now, I know that goes against prosperity gospel, but you notice all them prosperity gospels ain't no more on TV no more because people got poor and stopped giving to them. Here's what I'm saying to you. Listen to me. There are rich, godly people. There are people in here that have a lot of money. But God's goal is to make you into the image of His Son. That's God's goal for you. Okay, and where you are in the financial deal, that's just part of His plan for you. Right? You see that? Because when greed and selfishness are around, it always leads to situational ethics. This right here is killing our country. They live by the end justifies the means. What is situational ethics? My ethics, my character depends on the situation. That's what it is. And so people lie, just like those three feminist lawyers that got hurt a lot, they wanted abortion on demand. And they said, lie so we can get it. End justifies the means. So there are people that when you start having the American dream mindset, the greed and the selfishness, I got to take care of myself. I won't think, well, then you start the lie, cheating, and stealing to take care of me or do what I want. The end justifies the means. That's exactly what's going on in Washington right now. They are greedy for power, and they'll lie, cheat, and steal to keep it. That is what's happening. They're just making things up. The lady that came against the last Supreme Court, and I don't care about your politics, I'm just pointing out what the lawyer said. The lawyer said the reason she came forward was because she's afraid he'll knock down Roe v. Wade. In other words, the whole thing was a lie. She just don't want it. And everybody praised her. Because the end justifies the means. I don't understand. Everybody look at me now. I'm gonna step down off my preacher box and just kind of speak plainly to you. I don't understand because I didn't get Christianity this way. And I'm pretty sure the Bible doesn't teach it this way. How is it that so many people compartmentalize their lives? You know, they'll come to church. All that stuff. But now, business is business. Lie. Cheat people out of money. Selling inferior things. Selling cars that you know are broken. That's why I don't sell cars to my friends, ever. I'll give them to them. But most of the time, when we're through with them, you can take them to the junkyard. We've sucked all the life out of them. But what I'm saying is, not being a person of your word, I don't understand how you get away with that in your thinking. That is selfish greed. The end justifies the means. And then we'll come to church and Waymaker, beer, you know. Oh, yeah. And I don't understand. I'm just going to take another step. Since I'm diving in this pool, might as well go and dive head first. I don't understand how you can trust God. I get invited to all the funerals. Part of my job. And I see people all the time. This is just 35 years talking to you. I'm trying to help you. And I see people come down. And I see them quote verses. And I hear them grabbing hope. Well, I knew he gave his heart to Jesus. And I know, and they have this belief that God can take somebody and take them to heaven, but then they don't have the belief that God can take care of my finances. I don't understand that dichotomy. I don't understand how you can just split things. Well, it's okay. I'm counting on God taking my family members to heaven. But it's okay for me to hate my neighbor. I don't understand that. How you bring those two ends together. It's okay for me to hate somebody or talk bad about them or lie when they cheat, cheat them or whatever. But when we die, oh, Amazing grace. See, that's what the spirit of America, Americanism, does to Christianity. It makes us compartmentalize in situational ethics. Well, it's okay for me to act like that. I was thinking about all the different times. I remember, she's no longer here, and I'm not going to call her name because some of you might know her, but I had a church man. I was the president of PYA. And I had a church member that worked in the children's department. This wasn't just, she was involved. Well, buddy, the other team, I'm president, so I got to get all the garbage. The other team wasn't wearing, and the other team coach wasn't wearing the jersey. A couple of the players wasn't wearing the jersey. Now, these kids were seven years old, so it wasn't their fault, first of all, right? My seven-year-old just picks whatever's on the floor. And ever how long, if you don't stop him, he'll wear that same shirt, just until you can't take it no more. Well, the coach didn't have it. Well, I know the coach. He came straight from work to the ball field. Well, buddy, she cussed me a new one. And I made it worse. I did. I'm sorry. I did. I made it worse. She is letting me have it. How in the world can you ever, you blankety blank, that blankety blank. And I started laughing. And I shouldn't have said it. I know I shouldn't have. It slipped out before I realized it. And my wife, you shouldn't have said that. I said, well, okay, I'll see you at church Sunday. And I don't think my spirit was right, okay? When I said, I'll see you at church. But when she saw me at church, that's the ball field. How we act at the ball field. See, I don't understand that. I don't understand how it's that spirit that says, well, the things of the world, God's stuff doesn't have anything to do with the things of the world, with my job, the way I handle my money, the way I do my work, the way I do this. That's all different. And then the things of God, when I get old and dying, amazing grace. You see what I'm saying? That's what it does to us. Now, let me point a couple things out, and we're going to get to the good stuff. Amen? First of all, greed will always produce... First of all, this is so dangerous. Let me give you three examples of how dangerous it is. In real life, first of all, Achim, you read about him in Joshua 7. Joshua 7, he's the one, Jericho, God said, you can have every other city and all the stuff, but everything in Jericho is mine. Well, he snuck in there because he wanted some of them gold pots and pans and stuff. I might not get it. There's a lot of people. I better sneak. Well, they went to attack Ai and got defeated. And look at me. People, real people died because of this man's greediness. How about this one? Dads. Are you listening? Are you listening, dads? Karl Marx. Karl Marx, if you have anything of history at all, you recognize that name. He wrote the Communist Manifesto. He's the one that Stalin built Russia off of. But he also affected greatly Adolf Hitler. Well, let me tell you how what happened to Karl Marx. Karl Marx was a Jew. His parents were Jewish. They moved to a town. He was a merchant and a lawyer. They moved to a town in Germany, and his dad said, look, we're going to convert to Lutheranism because it'll be better for business. Because most of the people weren't Catholic in Germany, they were Lutheran. And that so infected that little boy, his greediness, his willing to lie and denounce who they are. He wrote books. He said, he's the one that said, religion is the opiate of the masses. He's the one that wrote a book that so impacted a young politician named Adolf Hitler that Adolf Hitler said his work changed my life. Adolf Hitler killed 6 million Jews, all because one Jewish father had situational ethics. That's how powerful this thing is. Doing the godly thing, no matter what, is also powerful. But forget the 6 million Jews. He led us into World War II, which killed 50 million people worldwide. All because one dad decided it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal for money. How about anybody ever took out a house loan lately? You know why they have all those pages? You sit there and sign. Nobody reads them. You know why? I mean, some of them, I started trying to read one of them last time. I was reading them, and it was to confirm. I had to sign it to confirm that the stuff on the last page was true. I said, well, why do I have to sign that page to say it's true, and then I have to initial this page to make sure that that page is true? Because people don't do what they say anymore. You can't have a handshake anymore. Because why? Situational ethics. Greed. Wanting more. Here's what it produces. It always produces quickly. Look at this. Anxiety. We are the richest nation in the history of the world. And we have more anxiety, more people on medication for anxiety than any place in the world. Why? Because we are anxious about being left out, being worried. Huh, this, who's that? What's going on? I got to get mine. All this anxiety, dissatisfaction with the latest and greatest. I'm dissatisfied with where I am. Foolishness, destruction, and perdition always begin to go there, and we lose faith. Here's what it says, 1 Timothy 6:9-10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Wow. Now, am I against being rich? I am for it. I told the Lord I'm ready to take that test. I'm for it. All right? I ain't got no problem. If you got wealth in here, that's great. But let me tell you something. Wealth cannot be your goal because you'll always end up in despair. Let me say something else to you. You need to decide foolishness. You know, how much is enough? How much is enough? I was watching Lifestyle of Rich and Famous one time, and this guy, he made a gold jacket made out of solid gold for him to wear around. That would be foolishness. How about this? Let me tell you another step. See, when it's your goal, foolishness becomes credible. This billionaire, I'm just going to tell you straight straight out. I ain't going to let you come to your own conclusion. This billionaire took his feces and had gold poured all over it. And now it sits, they showed a picture, in his trophy case. I am not making, that is too bizarre to make up. But see, to him, he thought it was cool. If I broke into that house, I probably wouldn't steal that gold. Just let that stay where it is, you know. But what I'm saying is foolishness. We are doing foolish things. How many times does somebody have to tell you, you are killing yourself with anxiety and worry for you to realize, I need to rest here. Okay, how do we do this? You ready for the good news? Oh, somebody tell you, you ready for good news? I am too. All right, how are we to live in these days? I mean, listen. These are the days of our lives. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 tells us. Are you ready? Let your conduct be without covetousness. Don't covet. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Number one, are you ready? Trust God. Trust God. He's with you. He's for you. He will provide and get you where you need. Let me just say something to you. I know this is anti-prosperity gospel. God does not want everybody to be rich. First of all, rich is a relative term, but we're all rich compared to the people in India. He didn't want everybody to be rich. You go, well, because he himself said, the poor will always be with you. Did he not say that? God wants you to fulfill your destiny. That makes you rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich people, I'm telling you. Man, go for it. Go. But listen, God wants you to trust him. He's with you. I will not fear. I'm not going to miss out. I'm not going to miss out. I mean, we got people that are doomsday preppers around here. And they say, man, aren't you afraid? I said, no. As long as you collect something, I know where to go if it turns bad. Man, I know God's going to take care of me. He's with me. He's going to, look, if I die today, great. If I live another 50 years, great. He is with me. When is the church going to lay down fear and say, no matter what I walk through, God is with me. He's going to get me where I need to be. The next thing, how are we to live today? Honor God. Honor God with your money. How rich do you have to be for God to go, wow, that guy is loaded for the God of the universe. See, didn't he say, I think he gives us a little inclination. We miss it because God's tricky like that. He said, the streets of gold. And we hear those gospel songs. I'm going to dance. Oh, when the world come on now, we're going to dance on the streets of gold. You know, that ain't a compliment. God's telling you, look, what you value most in heaven is the gravel. It's the pea gravel up here. Honor God with your money. How do you do that? First of all, you tithe. If you're not a tithe, I don't care how much you make. Honor God with the first 10. And he'll bless the 90. Period. I can't say it. I ain't going to beg you. Is the church in bad situation? No, man. We got more money, you know, than we've ever had. But I want you blessed. I'm blessed because I tithe. Do I have a big bank account? No. But we ain't never missed a meal, obviously. I mean, tithe, guys. You go, Brother Allen, I can't afford to tithe. Change your life. I can't afford not to. Because I want the blessings of the Lord. Give. You go, well, that's what you just said, tithe. No, give is different. The tithe is the Lord's. That's non-negotiable. But then he puts different things on it. You want to have money to give. Now again, it's not how much you give. It's that you give. Work. Christians should be the best workers. We should be the hardest workers. Whatever you find yourself to do, do unto the glory of the Lord. You know, we should be, God's the one that gives promotion. We say, well, I'd work hard if they paid me more. I guarantee you, if you'll work hard, God will bless you. Honor God with your money. Make sure your money's not invested. That's why I don't go to casinos. I don't even go eat. Now, I know that I'm messing with you right now. Well, I just go up for the snow crabs. Well, they take that money and stay open so that they can buy hookers to give to big spenders. And if you don't think they're doing it, I'll introduce you to some. So I don't want my money. If you're involved in stocks, find out what that company does. I don't want my money involved in that. I want to honor God with my money because every part of my money, God, it's all His. Right? God doesn't mind you having a new car. He doesn't mind you having a new house. I'd love to have both. But my wife kept having children, and they just ruined everything. I was a force to, you know. But what I'm saying is, honor God with your money. And the last thing, teenager, you listen to me? Man, you better listen to this. Fulfill your destiny. Fulfill your purpose. Do you understand? Don't go for money, go for calling. Go for what God has called you to do. Don't research, well, what's the highest paying job? There are tons of miserable rich people. They're miserable. But when you're fulfilling your destiny, look, when God, look, I recognize, now there are a few, I understand there are a few preachers, probably 10. And make a whole bunch of money. But the rest of us, when you choose to be preaching, you ain't thinking of getting rich in your mind. I mean, we, you know, you can look at my lifestyle. You can come to my house. We buy them 99-cent boxes of Twinkies just to fill them up. You know, I mean, we, you know, but what I'm saying is, I cannot imagine doing anything else. It gives me, I'm fulfilling my purpose, and that cannot be bought. If you're a coach and a teacher, and God has called you to do that, guess what? You ain't going to get rich. But if God has called you to do it, and you feel like you're molding young minds and all that stuff and giving them purpose and destiny, money can't buy that. Let me just meddle a little bit. And I'm not against anything. I'm just telling you. Me and Amy made a decision early on that we wanted to raise our children. We didn't want to pay somebody else to do it. Okay? So she has never worked outside the home. Well, that decision affected, I mean, she has a math degree. She can make more money than I do. But that decision affected us. and our decisions on how we live and what we do and what we don't worry about. Having the latest clothes. You know, I know y'all all know that I'm a real snappy dresser. I mean, I feel like a shirt is not really ready to wear until it's at least 5 or 6 years old. You got to wash it about 100 times, then it's perfect. My wife keeps trying to upgrade me, and I tried to use spiritual terms on her because she was throwing away my shirts. I know I had it in high school, but it's perfect. I said, "Aren't you glad I'm a loyal person?" That didn't work. She said, "Hey, we're not talking about people." Anyway, go for your calling. I have couples that come to me and say, "We have such a passion to go on mission trips. We go on mission trips all the time. We have such a passion for it, but we can't because we both need to work to pay for stuff so we can live this certain lifestyle." Well, change your lifestyle. If that's your passion, because money cannot buy that. And that's what I see lacking in people, a reason to get up in the morning, a reason that you're excited about something, that you're excited about what you're doing. Don't let God determine how rich you get. Go for what you're passionate about, and God will bless you. I got friends that are rich and everything. My grandfather was like that. Everything he touched turned to gold. God blessed him immensely. Let God determine how rich you get. But go for what God's calling is in your life. God's called me to be an engineer. God's called me to be a doctor. Oh, okay, let God determine the riches. But you live in a way that you can fulfill your destiny. And you, look at me, you will be blessed. Joy is where you are. There's so many people clamoring for more this and more that, this and that. And they're missing life. So many dads, let me say this to you. We're going to start, the last two are going to be on the family next week. There's so many dads chasing so they can provide for their family that they're missing the years you cannot get back. Because there's going to come a point where he don't want you at the ball game. There's going to come a point where there's nothing there. There's no connection. All because of the American dream. And money cannot buy that back. I was standing talking to a wealthy man, and one of my sons walked up to me, interrupted me, "Dadgummit!" He asked me something, wanted to go somewhere with his friend, and he hugged me and said, "I love you," because we make them do that. Look, if my sons don't hug me, I don't care how old they are, I'll kiss them. "By God, you going to hug me?" "Well, that's embarrassing." I'll embarrass you. Right? I know how to embarrass you. "You going to hug me?" "Well, you hug me." "Thanks, Dad. I love you." And this man who could buy and sell me 10, 15, 100 times over, had all the money and all the stuff, started crying and said, "I would give it all if my sons would say that to me." See, that's what Satan wants to steal. Because money can't buy that. And I want you to know Let God determine how rich you are. Do what you love to do. Do what you enjoy. Do what His calling is on your life. And let God determine how rich and how... Because listen, with rich, with wealth, comes more responsibility. Me and Amy have been living by faith a long time. Because we started having... one time, I'm almost finished, y'all, so just relax. The Methodists and the Baptists have already beat us to the eating places, so just let's let them get out, and then we'll move in. Look at me. Me and Amy, we were going to budget one time because before Ramsey, it was Larry Burkett was the Christian financial guy. And so I came home from a conference and said, we going to budget. Because we had always tithed and we always gave. We have, even in college, we gave to another college student. It was change. Remember that? We said, we're supposed to give her money. And so we got our change jar, and we had cash in it and everything. It wound up being $1,100, wasn't it? I mean, we had, and to a college student, that's bank right there, buddy. That's, whew. And so we gave it to this girl. So we always did it because we tithe and we give. I sat and did a budget. Like Mr. Larry Burkett said, and I think you should budget. Don't go by this. I'm abnormal. You don't have to say amen to that. Just I sat down and did a budget, and just did our regular bills. No giving, no going out, nothing. Our regular bills. We were $14.32 over budget every month, and I remember going. And I just erased it all. I said, we're fine, baby. Let's just keep living like we're living. We're fine. Just keep honoring God. How are we living? I don't know. We'd go out every once in a while. How are we doing this? It's just God. Just don't look at the numbers. Just, you know. Because I'm trusting God to get me where I need to be and what I need. How I need it. I'm learning to be content where I am. If God gives me more, great. Awesome. If God makes me rich. I mean, I've had people stop by my house. Now, don't y'all do this, because, and ask me to anoint and pray over their lottery ticket. Brother Allen, it's almost $400 million. I promise I'll give half of it to the youth. Now, you know that I'll never see them again. They will disappear and move to Hawaii or whatever. Because their motives are wrong. But listen, whether I'm got a bunch or got little, that's not my self-worth. Do I believe we should work hard and try to make more money? Yeah. But my goal is to be Christ-like. My goal is to bring honor to Him and let Him determine what my socioeconomic stance is. I mean, I found out I can hang out with rich people. Me and Amy found that out, man. I was like country come to town, baby. We were up in a Dallas Cowboys box, and they were serving already peeled boiled shrimp. I was a glutton. I mean, I said, Amy, the shrimp is already peeled. And they kept bringing it out in trays. And I said, I'd take my hand and rake it all. You know, I'd walk over here. Man, we were down. I was so sick. But let me tell you something. We were the happiest ones there. Lady had a big gold ring, was part owner of the Cowboys, and had a big gold ring. And the whole time she was, she was complaining about this and about that. Nobody was laughing. Let me tell you something. I want you to understand, God wants us to laugh. That's a word from God. Some of you need to laugh more. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Stop worrying about your future. God is not taking your vote. Just laugh. And what you'll find out is, whether you're rich or not enough, if you'll live within your means and stop worrying what everybody else has, you'll enjoy. You'll have peace. You'll be happy. Does that make sense?